Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Becoming a Principle-Driven Leader 41. Principles to Build an Enduring Business is a business leadership book by Charles Koch, with publisher materials also identifying Chase Koch as co-author. Scheduled by Storybrand Books and Forefront Books, it presents a framework called the 41 Principles of Human Progress, drawn from decades of experience at Koch Inc. and from the author's broader work in philanthropy and organizational development. The book belongs to the leadership, management, and organizational design category, but its stated purpose is wider than conventional corporate advice. It argues that enduring organizations are built less by fashionable tactics than by consistently applying principles that help people learn, make better decisions, create value, and adapt under pressure. Based on available descriptions, the book combines practical business reflection, personal leadership lessons, and examples from company transformation. Its central aim is to help leaders turn setbacks into learning, reduce organizational friction, and build systems where individual contribution and long-term value can compound. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, principles of human progress as an alternative to short-term management tactics. The central premise of the book is that lasting organizational performance depends on fundamental principles rather than temporary techniques. The 41 principles of human progress are presented as rules of judgment that can guide decisions across changing markets, technologies, and social conditions. This matters because many management books focus on processes, playbooks, or leadership behaviors that work only in a particular setting. Koch and Chase Koch position principles as more durable because they help leaders reason through new situations instead of copying old solutions. The book appears to connect this idea to the long evolution of Koch Inc., emphasizing that the company changed repeatedly while relying on consistent underlying beliefs about value creation, learning, and human capability. The practical implication is that leaders should ask whether a policy, incentive, or decision honors the conditions under which people and organizations actually improve. In this framing, principles are not slogans. They are meant to function as filters for strategy, hiring, authority, problem-solving, and philanthropy. The book therefore treats leadership as an applied discipline. Leaders become more effective when they align daily choices with durable truths about cooperation, contribution, and adaptation. Secondly, organizational design that reduces bureaucracy and improves judgment. A distinctive emphasis in the book is the claim that organizations often slow down not because people lack ability, but because systems create friction. Available materials point to problems such as excessive approvals, unnecessary meetings, rules that persist without purpose, and decision processes that prevent learning. The book connects these issues to organizational design, rather than treating them merely as annoyances. If people must constantly seek permission, protect territory, or follow outdated procedures, their judgment weakens and progress decays. A principle-driven organization is therefore expected to design roles, incentives, and decision rights so that people can act on knowledge close to the problem. This is a concrete management argument. Better structure should increase the speed and quality of learning, not simply impose control. The book stands apart from leadership advice that equates discipline with more process. It suggests that discipline should mean clear principles, honest feedback, and systems that help capable people discover and fix problems early. The practical lesson is that leaders need to examine where their organization blocks contribution. Reducing bureaucracy is not about removing all structure, but about replacing low-value control mechanisms with arrangements that enable accountability, experimentation, and better judgment. Thirdly, empowering people by aligning contribution with value creation. The book frames empowerment as more than encouragement or delegation. Its leadership model appears to rest on the idea that people flourish when they can develop their abilities, make meaningful contributions, and see how their work creates value for others. This reflects the author's stated focus on unlocking human potential in business, community, and personal life. In organizational terms, empowerment requires leaders to understand individual strengths, place people where they can contribute effectively, and build cultures where learning is rewarded. The reasoning is practical when people are treated mainly as task executors. Organizations leave knowledge and initiative unused. When people are trusted to apply judgment within clear principles, the organization gains adaptability and resilience. The book also links this idea to philanthropy and social impact, suggesting that the same concern for human capability can apply outside commerce. The important distinction is that empowerment is not presented as permissiveness. It depends on responsibility, feedback, and contribution to a larger purpose. Leaders must create conditions where autonomy is connected to value creation, not separated from it. This gives the book a human-centered management argument without reducing leadership to charisma or personal inspiration. Fourthly, failure, turnaround, and continual learning as leadership disciplines, Publisher descriptions emphasize that the principles were tested through experimentation, failure, reinvention, disruption, and major business turnarounds. This gives the book a learning-centered structure. Rather than presenting growth as the result of a single brilliant strategy, it treats setbacks as information that can improve judgment when leaders respond correctly. The book appears to argue that deterioration begins when organizations ignore reality, protect existing habits, or violate principles that support progress. By contrast, recovery begins when leaders identify what is not working, revise assumptions, and empower people to solve problems. This makes failure neither romantic nor merely cautionary. It becomes a disciplined process of discovery. The emphasis on more than six decades of organizational change is important because it gives the framework a long-time horizon. Leaders face uncertainty, technological disruption, and cultural conflict, so they need methods for adapting without losing coherence. The book likely appeals to readers who want to understand how an enduring private company can survive repeated changes in context. Its practical value lies in treating learning as an organizational capability, not as an occasional response to crisis. The leader is responsible for building systems that turn mistakes into better decisions. Lastly, a two-generation leadership lens on continuity, change, and stewardship. One of the book's differentiating features is its father and son perspective. Charles Koch represents a long arc of company building and institutional philosophy, while Chase Koch brings the perspective of a later generation working within inherited principles but facing new conditions. This structure allows the book to address a central challenge for enduring organizations: how to preserve what is fundamentally valuable while continuing to change. Many business books focus on founder energy, startup disruption, or executive technique. This book is positioned around stewardship across time. The available descriptions suggest that the authors use personal and organizational experience to show how principles can be transmitted, tested, and adapted rather than treated as static doctrine. That distinction is important. A principle-driven organization cannot merely repeat the past, because markets and social realities change. It must use principles to guide new experiments and new responsibilities. The father-son lens also broadens the book beyond one executive memoir. It raises questions about succession, cultural continuity, and the formation of future leaders. The result is a leadership argument about inheritance and renewal. Enduring businesses need both a stable philosophical core and the humility to keep learning from new evidence. In conclusion, becoming a principle-driven leader is best suited for executives, entrepreneurs, senior managers, family business leaders, nonprofit builders, and readers interested in how large organizations sustain performance over time. Its practical benefit lies in giving leaders a framework for examining whether their decisions, structures, and incentives actually help people learn, contribute, and create durable value. Readers looking for a quick motivational book may find its positioning more systematic than inspirational. Its intellectual benefit is the attempt to connect leadership practice with a broader theory of human progress, where business success, personal development, and social contribution are treated as related outcomes of sound principles. Compared with many management books, it stands out for three reasons. First, it is grounded in the long development of Koch Inc., one of the largest private companies in the world, rather than in a short case trend. Second, it emphasizes organizational systems and decision rights, not only executive behavior or culture language. Third, the two-generation perspective gives it a distinctive concern with continuity, adaptation, and stewardship. The book should be read most critically as a framework to test against a reader's own context, not as a universal operating manual. Its value is strongest where leaders want durable guidance for reducing bureaucracy, improving judgment, and building organizations capable of learning under pressure. If you would like to support Charles Koch, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.